Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
In 1967, the Jews took back Jerusalem. In 1948, they did not. And from 48 to 67, they did not have control of Jerusalem. But they took Jerusalem back in 1967. So some would say that that would be the period of the end of the Gentiles. But the reason I don't think that's true is because the book of Revelation tells us that there's a future trampling underfoot of Jerusalem by Gentiles.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of Luke. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on Luke chapter 21. Now here's Pastor Brian.
You have a picture of the candlestick, the menorah, that is being carried, and you have, you know, the Jews in chains marching along with it. And so this is the depiction of the conquering of Jerusalem by Titus. And it's really pretty profound to just stand there and look at that and think, wow, this is a picture of what happened. Now, there's been numbers of captives that have been estimated, some, you know, hundreds of thousands, some have even said as many as a million. Nobody knows, actually, the true number. But suffice it to say, what Jesus said here is exactly what happened. They were led away captive, back to Rome, and then dispersed as slaves into all of the nations. Now, I want to go back in the verses that we've read for a minute and look at a few of the things that Jesus says here to them. But one thing that I think is, it's just a good reminder, and the context is obviously much different, but I love when Jesus says this. He talks about the fact that, you know, you're going to be brought before kings and governors on account of my name, and you will bear testimony to me. But this is what he says. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. That is such a great word of encouragement, isn't it? I mean, obviously, for those who are literally going to go into this kind of a situation. But I think it's interesting, too. Jesus says, for I will give you. He doesn't say, for God will give you. He says, for I will give you. And that's just a reminder that his promise to be with them always to the very end was a promise that he kept. I will give you words. But what I love about this is just, you know, it's an encouragement to us as well that when opportunities arise where we are called upon to testify, we're called upon to bear witness, to just know that the Lord will give us what we need at that time. I love that. And I've had many experiences where I have seen that happen. And you guys have probably had experiences like that too, where you don't really know what to say. And then suddenly you start talking. And as you're talking, you're thinking, wow, this is pretty good. Well, this makes sense. And I'm actually telling people about Jesus here. And that's the Lord. That's him at work speaking through us. And that is such a great reminder. It's such a good encouragement. Now, some pastors who don't really want to take the time to study, they say, oh, I don't need to study. You know, what do you do that for? I mean, Jesus said, don't worry about it. Just get up and talk, and he would give you words. Well, we also know that it doesn't work like that either, because we've heard many of those preachers do that, right? And you're like, okay, I hear you talking, but I'm pretty sure Jesus is not the one that's inspiring what you're saying. But this is, you know, obviously it's in a context where there's suddenly you're called upon. But just to know that when those moments come, the Lord will give us what we need. So that's something that encourages me from the passage here. Now, look also at verse 22, where when he's talking about the army surrounding Jerusalem and so forth, he says, "For this is the time of vengeance in fulfillment of all that has been written." So this is now the time of judgment. Jesus came and he offered salvation to the nation. Now, if you were here this morning, you know, we talked about the intertestamental period, and we talked about all the ups and downs of the nation during that intertestamental period, and it wasn't pretty. It wasn't a good time for them. But the nation remained. God had mercy. Even when they sinned, even when they rebelled, he allowed them to recover, all in preparation for Jesus to come. But when Jesus comes and offers salvation, this is the final offer. And having rejected that, they really sealed their destiny at that point. But it's interesting that God gave them another almost 40 years. And it was during those 40 years, the first part of the book of Acts would be the early part of that, where the apostles are continuing to testify. I was reading Acts this past week, and I was thinking about how the apostles, in the first few chapters, as they begin to run up against the high priest and the authorities, and it tells you the names of the people that were coming against them, and they were Annas and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and the whole family of the high priest. And I thought, wow, isn't this amazing? Because Annas and Caiaphas were the two men that condemned Jesus to death. And they're still going. They're still doing the same thing. So their judgment hadn't yet come. God allowed them to continue on. And yet, ultimately, their judgment would come. Now, they would have died before 70. But corrupt leaders would have come and filled in their place. And so in 70 AD, this is now what Jesus was weeping over when he came to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. And now your house is left to you desolate. And so this is that moment of judgment. And Jesus says to them, he says, "You will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And so Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So this trampling of Jerusalem by Gentiles began in, well, it was under the control of Gentiles even before this. It goes back, all the way back to the Babylonian captivity. So even after the Jews came back to the land after the captivity, they were under the Persians, and then they were under the Greeks, and then they were under the Ptolemies and the Seleucids, and then they were under the Romans. In that 400-year period, they had a couple of seasons where they did have independent rule, but it didn't last. And so from 70, this trampling underfoot took place. And it would go out until, Jesus said, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Remember we talked about the destruction, the complete obliteration of Jerusalem in 135. Did we talk about that? So 70 is the Romans destroy the temple, but the city still remains to some extent. And they carried away Jews, but there's still Jews that live there. And as time passes, there's a new generation of people that rise up, and there's a new resistance and a new rebellion. And then they're led by this Bar Kokhba guy, and then the emperor Trajan comes and obliterates Jerusalem, wipes it off the map. And Jerusalem is not even named. There's no place named Jerusalem until 325, when Constantine restores the name to the city. But all through that period, the Gentiles have had dominion over the city. The Romans had it. The Muslims took it. The Byzantines and the had it, and the Europeans warred with the Muslims over it. The Ottoman Turks had it, and then the British had it. And then in 1967, Jerusalem gained independence from Gentile dominion. So this is a question to ask. Was 1967 the end of the time of the Gentiles? Now, Pastor Chuck used to say yes. 1967 was the end of the time of the Gentiles. And he would say, and now we're just living in this sort of grace period. And we're just, you know, we're just waiting. And of course, he was waiting. So we were talking the other day, because we were talking about how just a few days before, like the week before he passed, he was still banking on the rapture. He was still thinking, like, you know, it's got to be next week, because I'm running out of gas here. And so, you know, he was committed to that. So, I mean, on one level, you think, yeah, well, that sounds right. In 1967, the Jews took back Jerusalem. In 1948, they did not. And from 48 to 67, they did not have control of Jerusalem. But they took Jerusalem back in 1967. So some would say that would be the period of the end of the Gentiles. But the reason I don't think that's true is because the book of Revelation tells us that there's a future trampling underfoot of Jerusalem by Gentiles. So what we're experiencing right this minute, with Jewish authority, autonomy over Jerusalem, I think that this is just a glitch, in a sense, that God has allowed for this time, but they will go back under Gentile authority. And the Gentile authority they will go back under, I think, will ultimately be the Antichrist himself. Now, there's all kinds of talk, understandably, about Israel. And we know that for the people of Israel, the most horrific slaughter since the Holocaust took place. And we know that they're in a war right now. They're fighting a war on 7 different fronts. And, you know, it's just completely insane, right? For seasons, Israel's in the news, Jerusalem's in the news, then it sort of fades out for a while and we don't hear much about it. But man, for the last 365 days, this is all we have heard about. It is front and center. And so what does that mean? And of course, there are a lot of people who are just saying, this is it. It's all coming down. The rapture's going to come really quick here, any time. And Gog and Magog, it's all going to come together. And we can see that the stage is set and all of those things. And maybe so. But maybe not. And I have a different perspective on it. And for two reasons. Number one, I think that if we're more concise in our biblical interpretation, we would come to a little bit of a different conclusion. But secondly, it's more subjective. I still want to see God do some extraordinary thing in Israel. And so this is my opinion, and I have no idea if it's accurate, but this is kind of what I think. I do not think it's the end for Israel. I think Israel is going to come through this season of conflict victoriously. Now, remember, before all of this blew up, and also remember that Iran is the instigator behind all of this. But also know that Iran is hated in the Middle East. So the Arab nations, they hate Iran. The only people that like Iran are the ones who are the Shia Muslims like the Iranian regime because they are Shia. The rest of the Muslim world are Sunnis. And the Sunnis despise the Shia, and they especially despise the Iranians. Because remember, the Iranians are not Arabs. The Iranians are Persian. So remember, before all of this blew up with Hamas, which is a proxy of Iran, remember that Israel was in all kinds of interesting negotiations with the surrounding countries, with Egypt, with Jordan, but even more amazingly, with Saudi Arabia. Now, I'm not one of those guys that, I used to hear people talk like, you know, they would be talking about Israel and then they would say like, well, you know, my sources tell me. So I'm not a guy who has the inside scoop. I mean, I do have some inside scoop, but it's not anything that is earth shaking. But I've been in plenty of meetings where they're like, all right, well, let me tell you. My sources say. But my sources do say that behind the scenes, the Saudis, for example, they're cheering Israel on. They want the end of Hamas, Hezbollah, and the instigator behind it all, and the financer of everything, and that's Iran. They want them out of there. So here's a scenario that I think is a possibility, but I could be wrong. I think Israel could come through this victoriously, and as a result of that, there could come a season of peace and prosperity with the surrounding nations. But also with that, an open door for the gospel. So, you know, I'm always thinking about the gospel getting in. How does the gospel get in? Well, in Saudi Arabia today, unlike any time in our lifetime, you can go into Saudi Arabia and preach the gospel. We have friends that are on their way to Saudi Arabia. They're on their way to Saudi Arabia to preach the gospel and set up churches. So this is unprecedented. This has never happened before. But with the new prince, he doesn't want the old stuff. He's done with that. He's a Western guy. He wants to bring Saudi Arabia up to the modern times. And so there's all kinds of freedoms and things that are happening. You know, women no longer veiled. Women are driving cars and going to college. And all of this kinds of stuff is happening. And they're having gigantic outdoor rave parties with 500,000 young people coming to them. And my friends have been to these rave parties. They go into the raves and they go in and share the gospel. And every single person they talk to wants to hear the gospel. Every single one of them. They were telling me about, they're taking a taxi to one of the rave parties and they're talking to the taxi driver. And he's talking about like all the stuff that they're doing. Like, oh yeah, you know, and he's excited about it. Yeah, we can drink alcohol now, you know, and we're smoking and we're doing, you know, all of them. We can party and we can do this stuff. And my friend says, and maybe you could even like start a church. And all of a sudden he goes dead silent. He's like, what? No, no church. No, party. You know, we want to party. But it's unprecedented in what's happening. And so our dear friends are in the process of moving from one Muslim country from which they where they've planted a church and have been doing little reconnaissance outreaches into Saudi. They are in the process of moving from one country to another. So that's happening there. In Iran, some people say that the greatest revival on earth is happening in Iran today. And that the common people who hate the regime and want it to end are coming to Jesus right and left. The gospel is just going out so radically all over there. But here's the other thing. And I've heard this from many people. I haven't been to Israel since last year. But I have many Israeli friends. And every one of them tell me the same thing. There is an openness among the Israelis that has never existed in the entire history of the nation. So for the very first time, Israelis want to hear the gospel. They're open to hearing it. So I look at all of that, and I've been itching to plant a church in Tel Aviv for the past 10 years, and it hasn't happened yet. But I kind of feel like the Lord, you know, put that on my heart. The Lord's put a lot of other things on my heart that actually he did do. So I think, well, maybe this is coming. So when I look at the situation, I wonder if maybe there's a different scenario than we commonly hear. And that is the scenario that I just described to you. Now, we know eventually that there is going to be a false Messiah that comes. And we know that the Israelis are going to embrace the false Messiah. We know that the government of Israel will embrace the false Messiah. It seems like there's going to be a temple that's going to be rebuilt, and the priesthood is going to embrace the false Messiah. And then we know when that happens that all of the other dominoes will fall, and there will be this, the final version of the Gentiles trampling the holy city underfoot. And the book of Revelation actually tells us that the Gentiles will trample the holy city underfoot for 42 months, for 3.5 years. So all of that is my explanation for why I don't necessarily think the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. But we're obviously in a time where God is providentially working. But remember what he's doing now, beside what he's doing, you know, globally as the sovereign Lord of the earth, what he's doing is making roads for the gospel to go places. Because it's the time of, it's the acceptable year of the Lord. When Jesus stood up in that synagogue in Nazareth and he read from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to recover the sight of the blind, to release the captives and so forth, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then Jesus rolled up the scroll. He stopped right there. You know what the very next sentence says? And the day of the vengeance of our God.
For the month of January, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Confronting Christianity by Rebecca McLaughlin. If you've ever pondered if there is really only one way to God, or if all religions ultimately lead you to God, then this book is for you. Rebecca McLaughlin addresses this very topic and others that confront Christianity head on. The book Confronting Christianity is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of Luke. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.